This morning, I put all of our scriptures in there and that I want to cover this morning, and so I thank you for that. Again, I want to thank everybody who's given and donated to our carpet fund for the Lord's gym. We'd ask you to pray and help us. The balance is still there in your bulletin, but we have new gym at the carpet. We're thankful for that. New carpet at the gym. Amen. Whichever way works, that's what we have there. Praise the Lord. And then, ladies, don't miss our women's conference coming up in April. Going to be a great time. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Look at the cover of your outline. This morning, I want to talk to you just for the next couple minutes on, seeing the value in a lost world. And last weekend, we got to go and be a part of a wedding ceremony for a young girl who's just, is it Jamie or Regina that's the oldest? Jamie's, our daughter's 9 days older than Regina, and they were in the church we pastored in Bieber, and they were there for about 2.5 years, and then they moved to Susanville, and we've been friends with them now for about 28 years, and so their daughter has grown up, and she asked us to do their wedding. It's a great time, but the Sunday before that, we had started a message on a happy home and a living church, but this morning, I feel I need to interrupt that. Next week, we'll pick that back up, Lord willing, after the encounter. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the value that God sees in a lost world. And just sensing what the Spirit of God is doing here this morning, and really believe that we're right on track. Father, we thank you for all that you have done and continue to do in our lives. Father, we thank you that we can talk about times of coming together and going to an encounter. And we're so thankful that your amazing grace has saved us. You positioned us in yourself, and you set us in your body with purpose, with distinction. You found youthfulness, and you've given us your identity, you've restored our value, you've set us on a path of direction and purpose for our lives. We are so thankful for that. Father, today we pray that you would enlarge our heart and open our eyes to see the world is around us. As Sean said, Father, that we can see the darkness, but Lord, you told us to be the light. So help us to open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our ears to hear, to believe, and to see all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19 and verses 1 through 10 reads like this. It's on the cover of your outline. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. So the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we spoke about in our discipleship class with the men, if you were to look and to see what is God doing in the earth, I'll submit to you, God is doing one thing and one thing only. He is seeking and saving the lost. People say, I wish I knew what God's will was for my life. His will for you is lost people. It's no deeper than that. It'll never change. God loves the lost and the dying of this world. And it's so important that we understand that. Look inside of your outline there. It says, there is something powerful that happens when the gospel in our life goes from being an experience to a personal conviction on how we live and give of our lives for others. Experience of accepting Christ. What an amazing experience. How many remember the day you got saved? I do. I still remember December 13th, 1978, I still remember praying in that prayer room. I could probably, they still have them, I could probably pick out the metal chair that I rusted. Amen. I cried a river of tears that night. The grace and the waves of God's grace flowing over me and my emotions in that moment. Remembering what an experience to experience the power of the gospel that leads us to salvation. Amen. But when it goes from that personal experience to a conviction on how we live and give of our lives for others, something amazing happens there. Let me ask you this. What is the value of just one soul to God? How much was your soul worth to God? I submit to you that He bankrupted heaven. Amen. I submit to you that this, that it was the body and the blood of His Son. How much was your soul worth? The body and the blood of God's Son. Amen? That's what God paid for your redemption. That's what you were worth to Him. Think about it. What would He be willing to give of and from His life to see you redeemed? By that I mean being completely set free and fully delivered from the grasp of sin, the judgment of hell, the fear of death, and the corruption of the grave. When you and I, or somebody says, I am saved, that's exactly what we're saying. I've been released from the grasp of sin. Sin no longer had dominion over my life. I'm fully delivered from that, from the judgment of hell. I do not have hell hanging over my head as my eternal destination. Could you say amen? That is not my destination, thank God. I no longer live in the fear of death. Hebrews 2:14, that God delivered them who all their lifetime were subject to the fear of death. Amen? And then lastly, the corruption of the grave. Our body is not destined just to the grave. You can bury this shell, but there's a new life that lives on the inside of it. Amen. So this morning, I want you to hear this. The ability to have faith for our city comes with having faith for just one soul. Jesus was in the crowd, but when He saw just one hungry man climbing a tree to be able to get a glimpse of life, He was moved. Jesus in the crowd, He's passing through Jericho, and Jesus, when He was walking, there was always a multitude and a crowd around Him. But here He is in the midst of that crowd, and He looks up and He sees just one soul climbing a tree, wanting to see life. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Lord, just lift up my eye. Sometimes we get caught up by the crowds around us. Your life is under pressure from demands of the crowds of your environment, your sphere of influence, where you walk daily. And sometimes that crowd can put so much pressure on it, we miss seeing the people that are climbing the trees. It's hard for us to see the people that really want to be saved. Some of us can look at our friends and family and say, you know what? I've worn myself out witnessing to them. I prayed myself out. I got blisters on my knees. I got calluses on my eyelids trying to pray them through into the kingdom of God and that. And so this crowd of pressure around. But sometimes if like Jesus, if we could just begin to pray, God, help me to lift up my eyes above the crowd to see who's climbing the tree to see you. Who wants to find you? Who's looking for you? Amen? Who is hungry to know you? Praise the Lord. And so we need to ask God to do that in our life. When it comes to being lost, let me ask you this. How far do people have to go? Do they have to be in a remote and desolate place? Let me ask you this. How far do you have to go to find lost people? I said a couple weeks ago and just encouraging you, when it comes to finding things to do for the Lord, we've all been at different times on maybe on a short-term mission trip or something like that, and you think, oh, I'd love to go and help. I want to go on a mission trip. I can tell you, you can go again every Thursday night. You can go on a short-term mission trip right here at Solid Rock Faith Center. You can walk in here, and we'll have 50 people from another world over in this room right over here. We'll have our homeless community right here, and we'll provide shelter and food, and you can minister to them. Last Thursday night, I came down, and there's a young man there, Fletch, I believe. Is it Fletch, Paula? Is that where you go? Huh? Fitch. Fitch. Fitch was tripping Thursday night. He is like, I go, dude, chill out. And I walk up behind and put my hand up and said, hey, settle down. He's like, man, don't touch me. I said, I'll touch you. No, no, don't put your hands on me like that. I'm sunburned. You're sunburned. Okay. Anyway. He's like, mess me. I said, I'll touch you. I'll touch you all the way outside. And then chill out. You're messing everybody up. Just relax. Okay, man, but don't touch me. I said, all right, chill out. And so that was Thursday night. Friday morning, I come back, and he's a different man. And he's not tripping anymore. And so while we're cleaning and mopping up, he's standing in the corner by the door, and all he has on is a T-shirt, and everybody's outside, and he's standing by the door, and he's looking outside. But all he has is a T-shirt. And I walk up, and I say, don't you have a coat? No, man, I wish I did. And so the coat I had, I went and got and gave to him. As soon as I gave him the coat, he goes, oh, man, thank you. You don't have to do that. Hey, do you ever need any help around here? I like to help. I would help. So the guy that was tripping goes to being open. I'm just telling you, you can go on a mission trip just right across the parking lot. Because how far do people have to go to be lost? Do they have to be in a remote place? Do you have to go to New Guinea? Do you have to go to Mexico? Do you have to go to Africa? There's lost people right here in our community. And when you come away, I can go, God, I can give my coat away because I have more than one coat. And if I had to, I could go buy another coat. How many know what I'm saying? Many times when we go on trips and you see the needs in people's lives, you come back and you're thankful for what you have. And we need to live at that place where we never quit seeing the need in others and the abundance in ourselves. And remember, God, I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed. Because when we go on mission trips and that, we come back and we're thankful for what God has done in our lives and for what we have. But we need to live with that appreciation. So you don't have to go far and to a remote place to be lost. Let me ask you this. Is direction only lost when we're in a desert or a mountain wilderness? Is value only lost when something or someone is out of our possession? Is identity only lost in obscurity where no one knows us or recognizes us? And we know those are rhetorical questions. The answer is no. But according to the Word of God, you and I live in a lost world, a place where humanity as a whole lives without clarity of direction, with no true sense of understanding of their value, without any true identity as God's creation and the love of His life, which they are. Every person you see walking down the street, every person you come in contact with was created by God and for God, and they are the love of His life. They just don't know it. Zacchaeus up in the tree, Jesus sees him. He goes, oh, today, come down. Today, salvation has come to your house. You are the seed of Abraham. And listen to what we read. It. Jesus said, He has come seeking and saving the law. And I tell you, every day we have opportunities, if we would just ask God to open our eyes, to see the people that are in the trees looking for life. Somebody say amen. That is before us daily. Hear me. So, this place where people are wandering. So we need to have faith for our cities. What happens though? They wander aimlessly from place to place, rarely content with where they are. They think the abundance of outward possessions will replace their loss of inner value. They find their identity by embracing every new fad style and activity that this lost world creates. Everybody please look up here. Please get your own style. Be you. Don't wait for something to show up, a picture on Facebook, an ad on this, for Abercrombie & Fitch or somebody else to identify you. Amen. There are some people who should not be identifying with skinny jeans. Skinny jeans are not your identity. Neither is spandex and a top. Amen. You can go to the mall and you can see human drumsticks walking around, the ice cream cone drum. Anyway, moving right along. Come on, that is not your identity. Oh, we're doing all right. Get your own identity. your fad, your style. It comes from the Lord. But watch what happens. People do that. They find their identity by embracing every new fad, style, and activity that this lost world creates. Don't get your identity from the world. The world is lost. And so inwardly, though, they're hoping that they won't appear to be lost. Hear me, the essence of the gospel is the restoration of everything lost. That's the essence of the gospel. That's why we preach, and that is what Jesus came for. Look here in Matthew chapter 18, verses 11 through 14. And let me just say this, never despise the lost. Never lose your heart. As Sean said, it's one thing to talk about the doctor, but remember, there was one day you were there. One day, sometimes we get saved and we get sanctimonious and we get self-righteous and we forget that you were one breath away from maybe entering into eternity and an eternal hell. But by the grace of God, you were saved. You were saved by grace, not by any merit. So now that you're saved, don't try to find some merit. Just stay in grace. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Now think about this. Look at what he said. Take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. What I mean by there, it's easy. You know, it's like Flitch. Finch. Okay, there we go. It's easy for the bird man to get you upset. And you can despise him. But while you have to deal with him where he's at when he's tripping, you need to still have a heart for love for him in the morning. So because different circumstances require a different response at a different time, but it should always be out of love. So while he was doing that, I was moved with love and compassion for the others. He was affecting others. So for the safety of others, you have to deal in one way. But on the next day, you deal with him in a whole other way. Never lose or never despise one of these little ones. Never lose your love for the lost. Listen to what Jesus said. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come what? To seek and to save the lost. Think about it. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Think about it. And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. It's amazing that Peter reiterated that truth in 2 Peter 3:9, where he says, God not willing or slacken his promises, but he's long-suffering because he's not willing that anybody should perish. Thought about the other day, and people think, hey, man, it's taken a long time for the Lord to return. Not in the scope of eternity. Not in the scope of God's eternal plan. Come on, it's nothing. It's nothing. Hear me this morning. Jesus gave all of his attention to the ministry of lost and found, welcoming and rejoicing with them in their restoration. Jesus always sought to reveal the heart of God and the condition of man. He's the greatest lost and found agent the world and humanity has ever known. The heart of God always has been and always will be to forgive and to restore through repentance. It is the foundational truth of the gospel as a whole. He rejoices over us that are already saved, but he is searching for the lost. He is rejoicing over them. And his rejoicing over them and their restoration exceeds his joy over us. You can write it in the margin there if you want, but in Luke 15:31, and I hope you can get this morning, the end of the account of the prodigal son coming home and the older brother there, he is kind of indignant and upset of the rejoicing of his father over the son who has come home. And in verse 31, the father comes to the older brother. Listen to what he says. He says, son, you are always with me. You are always with me. And everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. You are with me. And if we ever mature to the place where we get past having God needing to prove His love to us, to validate our sonship. Show me I'm your son. Bless me today. Show me, do something for me today. Validate my sonship. Reaffirm me to myself. Reaffirm my position of who you are. Son, you are always with me. But your brother, every day the father goes out and he's hoping to see down the path the one that's lost, the one that's dead. Maybe today he's coming home. And while the other son's over here, affirm me, validate me, validate me. Son, you're always with me. Could you turn me down just a little bit? I'm ringing in my ears. But your brother is lost. I'm ringing. It's coming back in the monitors, echoing something. Turn something off. Turn mute all those. Something. Your brother's lost. He's dead. He's dead. And now that he's back, he's found and he's... We should be rejoicing. But you have always been with me. Can I tell you, as we took it, look at everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Chris said it so well this morning. Your healing, your forgiveness, every provision, all the provision, everything I am, everything I have is yours. It's always yours. It's here. It's available at any moment. Just receive it. Live in it. I rejoice in you. And he rejoices over us being with him. But his heart, and if you and I could hear it today, if we come in and we want God to affirm it and we need this affirmation, his heart is looking out there and while he's trying to tell, I love you. Yes, I love you, but there's one that's lost. There's one that doesn't know where he is. There's one that's dead in his sin. And I love you. Everything I have is yours. But there's one that needs to come home. Hear me this morning. When you read Luke 15, that's exactly what you find. The father goes after the sheep. He searches with diligence for the coin. He watches and waits, longing to embrace and restore his son to his rightful place and true identity. His heart is filled with love for the older son, but his joy is the restoration of the son who was lost. He'll always leave you and me to go after the lost. He will always leave the 99 for the one that is lost. He's always with the crowd. He has no problem being in the crowd with people pressing him, placing a demand on him. But his eyes are always to the trees. To see just one more. What does it mean to be lost? Lost is defined as unable to find the way to a place, having wandered from the way, gone, wasted, not taken advantage of. How many know that's the son, the prodigal son? Somebody who is misplaced, who when you look for him, he's nowhere to be found because he's gone off course and he's living in a place where he's confused. People who are lost need people who know where they are to go and look for them. I know that doesn't make sense, but if you're on a search and rescue team and they send you out, how many know when you go out to look for a lost person, you know where you are? They may be disoriented. They may have no idea where they are, and you're looking for them in the vicinity of where they are lost, but you are in the same vicinity where the lost person is, but you know exactly where you are. And so lost people need people who know where they are and who they are to come and find them. That's why God sends you and I to them. You are His search and rescue team. They're people of faith to find and save the lost. Let me ask you this. How does humanity end up lost? How has this happened? Why do we have a world that's where it is today? Because the main strategy of the devil is to cause everyone to doubt and thereby lose their true identity. Isn't it amazing all the doubts we have against God? We have all the theories. We have everything from evolution to pantheism to all the isms and all the other religions and all the philosophies to reincarnation and everything else and all these ideas. And so when you lose your true identity, that you are a child of God, you are made in the image of God. And then when you begin to strip down everything else, that creates that identity law. And the moment we lose our true identity, we head down the path of being lost. Because without identity, we have no real sense of value. And it happens. Some of you have gone through that. You come from home, and the only one who can give you value is the one who created you, which is why we need fathers in our home, and the attacks against our home is such a... What's happening to our society? Because we're devaluing the home and marriage and family and the institutions that are the core foundation of what make life strong. And when you take away that, and so for me growing up from a dysfunctional home being there, my dad wasn't there. I had a stepfather who was a great provider, but I never had a father who came alongside me and gave me the identity that only a father could. When my real dad passed away, my stepmom tells me at the day of his funeral in my father's home, she says, "Hey, these are the conditions. Before your dad died, we rewrote the will. And if you don't follow these conditions, you don't get any inheritance." And I said, "Hey, I don't care about money. I wanted what he could never give me. I needed a father, not money. I needed a father. I wanted the validation of my father, not some stuff." And only a father can validate a son or a daughter. But then I found out when I got saved, and out of that lack of validation, it made me make choices. It made me run. I was angry on the inside. Some of you have been driven by that same thing. So I'm angry on the inside, and I'm running, and I'm doing. Drove me to the place where I could actually stick needles in my arm to try to anesthetize my pain. Some of you have been there with me. But then the day that I came to the end of myself and I knelt at that prayer room and God saved me, that's the day that a father stood over me and validated me as his son and covered me with his identity and put his ring of value on my hand and put his shoes of purpose on my feet. And I knew that I was a son in the house of my father. With no sense of value and direction, we value any direction we take is okay. We don't believe our life matters at this point. We're open to be given false identities, to chase after empty promises of worth and value, to allow others to guide us who have no idea where they are or where they are going. When you look at society today, that's what's happening. Our world is lost. There's an identity crisis. There's no true sense of value, and so people are just wandering, looking for... That's how fads take in, and so we identify with that. We identify with... No, your identity is who you are in Christ and by your Father. You should be able to say, "Abba, Father, though man has failed me, my God has not failed me." Amen? Think about it. When it comes to personal value, I wonder if we could find ours in allowing ourselves to be spent by God for His glory and for His desire. Would we dare to allow Him to define the direction of our life? Could He send us to a lost and dying world, spending us to tell them of His love? Look at your neighbor this morning and tell him, "Hey, you're 20 bucks. No, you're not. No, look at your neighbor. Don't try to raise your value. Look at your neighbor and tell them, "I'm 20 bucks. Now watch. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. So one person's not 20, one's not 5, one's not 3. Everybody's 20 bucks. The difference is God defines how He uses you, not you. That will never tell me what to do. I will tell it what to do. It's my money. And I want it now." No, I'm teasing. But in value, listen, as a pastor, and we, America, we are so stupid. There's no superstars in the kingdom. Everybody is 20 bucks. Who's your favorite preacher? He's 20 bucks. God's just spent. He just put his hands in God to be spent by God, and he's being spent, and you love watching other people be spent. Instead of saying, God, spend me. And so 20 bucks, here's what happened. Look at it in your outline. Watch this, watch it. 20 bucks, but then when you give your life, God says, here you come to Christ. When I came to God, God says, I value, here's your identity. I set my identity on you. I give you my value and I give you purpose. I found out that God would use me. That if I would give my life to him, he would spend me for his glory. And so we come to Christ, we give him our life, and then God says, okay, I receive it. Now I will break it and redefine it with my purpose. I mean, no, both are 20 bucks. But today we want to come to church and tell people, you're so valuable. You're wonderful. You're glorious. You're special. Here, you have a wrinkle. You must have had a hard week. I pray the Lord irons you and blesses you and makes you new today. You're wonderful. Oh, God's breathing on you. But when you come to God, you give your life to God. He places your life in himself. He says, this is what I'll do. I will break you. And I'll redefine you. Brokenness is being redefined by purpose. So God says, now, since you put your life into my hands, I get to choose how to spend you. If I gave this to you this morning, you would get to choose what to do with it. I can't come back to you and say, hey, why don't you buy like lunch and maybe deodorant, maybe, you know, some stuff. No, you would define its purpose. And when you give your life to Christ, he defines you. And he says, I want you to go invest your life. But God, I'm only 20 bucks. What difference could I make? Stand up, son. So you give your life, but wait a minute, that's my value. I'm only $19 now. Go stand right over there. Yeah, but God. My value, God. Yeah, but give it away anyway, okay? Okay. Just stand over there. Got them down to 18. Says, I know, I got it all right here in my hands. Now, if you have come to this church, by or through either one of these men, please go stand by them right now. Connected to them. Wait a minute, Lord, I only invested $2. God says, come here, Cole. God says, keep loving, keep giving. Yeah, but Lord, he wants me to baptize him in a river in February. Real deal. So as I'm going in the Marines, I'm going to get baptized before I go. I said, okay, I know some people have a hot tub. No, in the river at Coloma. Okay, it was my dollar. Stand right here. If you come to this church too cold or anybody, please come stand up here. But God, I'm down to $17. Now, wait a minute. I'm 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Hey, not bad. Amen? And so while it feels like my life is being given away, what's happening? It's multiplying. So then God says, keep giving. You two go stand up there. And God says, keep giving. You guys go stand up there. And God says, keep giving. Go stand up there. And God says, keep giving. But Lord, we're getting down. Kind of, you have to go up there. Yeah. Yeah. And God says, keep giving. And you keep investing in life. And God says sometimes you go a long ways just to reach one. Go stand up there. Look. And you keep going until your whole life is spent. God says keep giving. And God says keep giving. Go stand in front of the communion table. Everybody who's here connected to Michelle, go stand with her. Anybody else? Huh? Came from. Huh? How about keep giving? Anybody connected to you here? Any of you guys connected to either one of these two? You guys all came on your own? Huh? Neither one of them invited you, talked to you? Huh?
Word of mouth?
Word of mouth, you found out what was going on? Somebody invested you? Go stand up there. Is there anybody here connected to your life? Say, Pastor, what are you saying? See, we always think we're trying to get more valuable. God, I don't want to be $20. I want to be $100. You don't get to be $100. Everybody has the same value. You just give it back to God. And when you give it, when He sows your life, and the goal is to keep giving your life away. To keep loving. To keep sowing. You weren't with Mike? You're not like connected to him? Wow. I should have stayed on the marriage message. And just keep giving. Yeah, the dollar means you have to go stand up front. Amen. Your family. Amen. Need some back row Christians. Keep giving. Paul said, Paul got to the end of his life and he said this: the time of my departure is at hand. And I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And I've spent my life for God. Paul says, I can tell. Peter wrote and he said, hey, I don't know how longer I'll be in this tent. And I'll make sure you always have a reminder when I'm gone. But I've made my choice to empty my life for God, to spend my life for God. And every time you sow and give of your life and you spend it, no seed you sow ever dies. And every time you do things, well, if you help in the nursery, well, Lord, there are just babies in there. Yeah, it's just a dollar investment. It's just a dollar. But one of those babies might reach this many people in 1 week. Well, Lord, it's just the kids. Lord, it's just calling a friend and inviting them. Yeah, it's only a buck. See, we've missed the truth. To invest your life for God isn't to try to do something huge and supernatural and how to become $1 million for God. God gave everybody the same value, and then He asks you to give your value back to Him and let Him redefine you by breaking you down and then sending you wherever He can to whoever He wills. Because when you reach one, you never know whether one's going to reach one. And I know she's reached more than one. Everybody up here has reached more than one. Or whether they're going to reach 100. You don't know. Bill, while you're right there, would you go to the keyboard, please? Lori will hold your money as usual. Years ago, when we moved into this building, we just wanted a place where we could preach and tell people about the Lord. And you decide to do it, and you go, God, it's a lot of money to put into a building. And I went to my pastor, and I said, Brother Hood, we have a little bit of money. Got this building, it's gonna cost us all this money to do that. I said, oh son, just a tool. I said, Pastor, that tool is gonna cost about $50,000. So it's just a tool. And it might reach one life. Sunday night, as I preach in Vacaville, you drive through that farm country and you'll see combines and harvesters and tractors and plows. And you look, tens of thousands of dollars invested in tools for the purpose of harvest. And you could look at your life. You could say, Lord, it's my value. No, son, it's my tool. And if you'll give me your value, if you'll become my tool, I can reap harvest through your life. And when you get done, you go, but God, I thought I only had 20 bucks. I thought my life didn't mean no value, and the world wants to devalue. They're trying to give you false value. Hear me, every one of you in this building. God's trying to give you false, the world tries to give you false value. God said, just give me what you have. Jesus said, feed the multitude. Said, Lord, we don't have enough to feed a multitude. We have enough to buy one lunch. We got one lunch. God says, give me what you have, and I'll mix it with mine, and I'll break it, and I'll start giving it. And you find there'll be enough out of the little bit you have. There'll be enough for a multitude. And what happens is when you give your life to God, God says, how much is a lost world worth? What's the value in a lost world? It's worth Jesus. And if you and I ever change, say, God, here's my life. You give it to Him. You let Him break it down, and you let Him begin to spend you. Say, God, don't let me spend myself anymore. I don't want to waste a dollar of my life. I don't want to waste an ounce of my value. Lord, tell me where to go, who to touch, who to reach. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to pray for you right now. In fact, let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I ask you today, forgive me. I've come to myself. I made my choices. I went to a far country. I've been wasting my life. I'm sorry. Forgive me my sin. I believe you love me so much. You gave your son to die for me. I receive your forgiveness. Today I choose to give my life back to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, God, just like the Father, runs and He'll come upon you, places His identity, His value in you, and He'll give you direction for your life. But He makes you 20 bucks. And then He says, give your life back to me. With the identity and the value comes purpose and direction. These are the shoes. This is where the shoes take you. If you'll give Him back, if you'll trust Him, put it like this, with your identity and your value, and you'll follow His direction, your life will never be just 20 bucks. It'll be sown and it'll multiply. And what's amazing is that before each one of these lives is over, their 20 bucks will multiply and multiply and multiply. This morning, if you would say to God, here's my life. I give my value back to you. Break me and spend me for the lost world that you love. Everybody up here standing, not by choice, but by connection. If you're out here and you would want to stand and say, Lord, here's my life. Break me, define me, send me. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Then I'm going to ask you just to move to this altar area real quickly. Everybody, if you're standing, let's just step up here. I know we feel the aisles, feel everything. I don't care. The most valuable tool in God's hand for harvest is each one of you. The most valuable tool in the hands of God is you. for harvest. Brian, you're his most valuable tool. Because the people that are connected to your life, he cannot reach except through you. You don't have to be $1,000. $20. Just has to be given. Diane, you're the most valuable tool for harvest in God's hand. Barbara, you're the most valuable tool in God's hand. Every one of us, you're his most valuable tool. Your field, he can't reach unless he can go through you. May God raise your children up like he has mine into things. All of our children may not say yes to the call, but they're still in the harvest field. My kids are witnessing and reaching, but my life invested in our children, but invested in our friends. You want to live where you get to the end and say, God, I spent my whole life. But God, it just seems so insignificant. That dollar, that service, that thing I did, it doesn't. There's so many people doing great things for God. God said, just give me let me spend you a dollar at a time. Because a dollar becomes so much more. Becomes so much more. Bow your head to me. Father, it's our prayer today, God, that you would receive our lives back. Father, forgive us of older brother attitudes that need you to affirm us and reestablish our value, God. Help us feel your heart for the one that's in the tree. Give us eyes to see them, Lord. God, help us feel your heart for the son that's still lost, the son that's still fear. God, give us your heart that looks every day hoping to see him come back. Thank you. Lord, we receive that promise that we are with you always. And everything you have is ours. You provide for every need of our life so we can give our lives back to you. Father, today break us, define us, spend us. God, just to one. Lord, let it be $1 at a time so when we get to the end, we feel like Paul, we're spent, we're done, we know. How do I know when I'm done? When I feel I'm empty, I've spent it all for God. I've used it all for him. Now, Father, I thank you for each and every one. Lord, I thank you that you're speaking to hearts here today. I pray, God, that they see their value in you. And Lord, I pray you open our eyes to see the trees, God. To see the trees and those that are climbing. Help us lift our eyes above the crowd to see that one in the tree that's looking for you, Jesus, to declare hope and salvation to them. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
I want you to listen to me just for a second. I know I went a few minutes, but hear me. When I got saved in New Life Assembly, Brotherhood said this. He said, I believe we could have a church where men and women could hear and answer the call of God. And we could raise them up to preach the gospel around the world. And he said, I'm believing for 100 young men that we could raise up through our Bible school and we could send them out to preach the gospel around the world. Well, my pastor went to be with the Lord. At that time, there were 15 of us, not 100 that were in full-time ministry, but there was 15 of us out of that group during that season that had gone and planted churches like ours. And so Brotherhood's up. I'm 20 bucks, but I believe I could give a dollar away to one young man at a time. And I believe that that young man would have a great harvest in his life. And so I'll be a dollar to him. I'll spend my life for him. I'll give my life to him because I believe that in this young man is great harvest. And God help me, just give my life away a dollar at a time to young men and young women. And God, let them go and let them preach the gospel. And I thought about that. There were 15, and there are others that are in ministry serving all over the world. But then when we got together, when Joe Aniker's wife, Lori, passed away, we go there, and here's this whole house. And I'm standing there next to Pastor Doug and Dave and Jimmy Killian from Woodland, and I say, hey, look. We are legitimate seed. We had a father in God. A man of God sowed into our lives. We didn't have a preacher who was after something. We had a man of God sowed into our lives. And I'm telling you, each and every one of you are men and women of God. And if you could just believe, you don't have to be anymore. If you could just believe that God's given you His value and then give it back, you'll find that He'll just $1 at a time use you to touch somebody. And our county could change. Our cities, our communities, our schools. $1 at a time. Amen. Father, I pray your blessing over your people today. Lord, you love a lost world. The value you've set over the lost that are in our lives. Lord, they're your harvest. They're the harvest. Father, I pray you would help each one of us to live surrendered and willing to be spent by you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. Go give your dollars away. No, that's my value. Don't leave my value. No, don't throw it away. You can't leave it here. You have to give it away. It's my value.